Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pools in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor that is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, boy, who cares? March has never changed anything.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. And he messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what happened is, When God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it's on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box going to get sent back to sender. And now you're going to have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin. I got in a huge tax situation in 2008 because my divorce was in 2005. And my accountant had gotten in cahoots. And next thing you know, my accountant died. And a girl that worked for him called my lawyer and said, we have a problem. She had found on the floor all my tax forms for 7 years, signed and with the checks stapled to them. So I'm thinking, I done signed and I done stapled the checks. Well, they were cashing the checks, keeping the money, and not turning in the tax form. They took the money out of the account that matched the exact. Because I wasn't watching it.
So like, you could just see 100,000,
600,000 deducted.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking it's the check. Little did I know, it was some people taking the money out.
For 7 years?
For 7 years.
How much money did that?
I ended up owing $22
million. Wow.
$22 million with the penalties. So now, listen to me, man. Me and my wife in 2008, I get the call. And the way I found out was my lawyer called me and said, hey, man, we got a problem. You haven't paid taxes in 7 years. I said, man, what are you talking about? I paid taxes. I've been writing the checks and all this here. Oh, man.
He said, this woman found your taxes in your accountant's office on the floor. Every tax check I had written and every was stapled together for 7 years, quarterly taxes, all of it. So he said, man, that's tax evasion. You can go to prison. And I said, what are we going to do? So he said, hold on, man, let me get some lawyers. So he called up some tax accountants out of Chicago. These boys was the best. And they set me down and they said, man, we got a major problem. He said, I got a friend working at the IRS. Let me take the first year. We took the first year and we sent it in. And he said, man, well, this is an old tax return. He said, man, we got a problem. He got more, but he didn't know it. And so we need a tax payment plan. So the tax payment plan was so astronomical that it was no way I could pay this. So the deal was, if you miss one payment, we come and seize all your assets and you go into jail. That was the deal. So the way I found out I was in real bad trouble was my accountants, my former manager, lawyer, got on a conference call to discuss it. But they sent out an email with the conference call number to my assistant. But it wasn't supposed to go to me. She inadvertently gave it to me. I wasn't even supposed to be on the call. So when I logged in, they were already talking, and I just didn't announce myself. And I heard them say, nobody can live under this amount of stress. There's no way he can pay the back taxes, pay his current taxes, and his living expenses. And I heard a guy on the phone say, what are we going to do when he goes to jail? And I hung the phone up. I went upstairs. I said, Marjorie Dawson, Marjorie, we got a problem. When I explained it to her, Marjorie started crying. She sat down and cried. My wife cried for 2 straight days. She said, Steve, what you going to do? I said, I'm going to go to work. I took every comedy gig in this country. I signed every contract. I went to work, man. I worked every single Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I went to every venue, the Verizon, Staples Center, MCI, Phillips. I sold out the Fox. I went everywhere. I stayed on the radio, man. I'm coming, sold out. I never missed a payment. And for 4 years in a row, I was sending $650,000 a month to the government, plus I had to pay my current taxes.
New taxes.
I couldn't get behind on nothing. And I was living. So I was credit cards, running them up, paying them off. And finally, man, in 2012, I sold 49% of my radio company to iHeart. I got a check, man. I got me a check. And then, so I paid the government completely off to zero. And that was the first time, man, I could breathe. And then the pay-per-view, I said, let me get out of stand-up, because my wife said, Steve, you finna be a major TV star. You're going to have to stop telling the jokes you're telling, because you're going to ruin your career. Because she saw the political correctness turning. And so she said, Steve, you can stop if you want to. I said, baby, I can't ever stop telling jokes. Is who I am. She said, well, okay, but you got to watch what you say. And all of my TV shows are sponsor driven, the radio is sponsorship driven. I said, man, let me get out of this because I need time to go do more TV. And so I did one last comedy show, but I did it on pay-per-view. And little did I know, for $8, you could watch my last show. I had no idea how many people was going to tune in for that. I made a lot of money. It was the biggest single paycheck I ever made. And next thing you know, I was back.
Okay, welcome to another installment of, well, formerly It's My House, upgraded name is BIY Shacks, Build It Yourself Shacks, Build It Yourself Housing. And today we're on step two. Now, we've come up with a formula here, thanks to Delmar, of 781. 781, that's our theme for this year, 781. That's our formula for this year. What does it stand for? Seven people, because you gotta have your social capital. 8 hours in a day equals one, in our case, tiny house. All right, 781. Now, today is step two. Step two here for a brand new year, 2024. We're still in January. And yesterday, thanks to Delmar, he brought up 6 points, and I want to add one more to it. Yes, now we're going from the Steve Harvey. We're using the Steve Harvey as a case of what we can do using 781. All right. Steve Harvey, you just heard it. You get the overall view of a plan that worked. Most of the people that are listening to this podcast, you don't have a $650,000 a month problem to solve. Some of you might, but the majority of you don't. But you still might have a problem that you might find a personal finance problem or whatever that you might, it might seem impossible to solve. So we're going to use Steve Harvey as a case study and apply it with our formula 781. Now, yesterday, Delmar brought up five things. I added two to it. Steve Harvey, and how did he pay off this debt of $22 million? Number one, he had a goal. Now, the Internal Revenue Service helped him break down that goal a little bit because they said you got to pay us $650,000 a month. That was a general target goal that he had to make every month. But you can break that down to, because there's 30 days a month, so I broke it down to 20 days out of the month. Take the weekends off. You know, $650,000, let me do this right now so you can follow along with me. All right, $650,000, okay, divided by 20 business days in a month, that's $32,500 a day. Many people listen to this podcast, they don't make $32,000 in a year. But he had to average it, he had to make that and more per day, $32,500. So let's break it down further than that. Okay. And let's go through these notes from yesterday. He had a goal. He had to make a plan based on that goal. As you heard him, he went to work, but he didn't go to work alone now. We're about to get into that. He had faith and belief that he could do it, that his plan was viable, that he can do it. The employees at the Internal Revenue Service, they didn't think he could make it. But that's why they're employees and he's a CEO. All right. And the two things that it is, he dipped into the community because everything you need is within a community. Everything you need is within a community. All right. And by him doing daily radio, he was getting into over 100 communities in the United States. You can do that on the internet too. And your name might have to be Steve Harvey. Facebook is a community of over 1 billion users. You just got to structure yourself on how to tap into it, all right? And, of course, he had within those 100 cities, that was his network. So seven elements. He had a goal. He had a plan. He had definite work. He believed and he had faith in his plan. And faith requires action, all right? He got into the community, and of course, he had a network, built networks within those communities. All right. Now, this could be applied. Oh, well, let me finish this up. So, $650,000 divided by 20 business days a month, that's $32,500 a day. All right. That's still daunting to most people. the earning a day, let alone every day, business day of a month. So, but he's connected. If you go online and look up the Steve Harvey Morning Show and how many radio stations that he's on 4 hours a day, Monday through Friday, on at least 100 stations. So let's take 32,500 and divide it by 100. That's 300. That means he only needed $325 per market per day. If you call up your local FM station and ask for their rate card, a single one-minute commercial can cost you $325. So all the radio stations that he was connected to, every last one of them has a sales department. So there were a lot of people within his network that helped him get this, and in the process, everybody that was connected got blessed. And that's how he was able to make consistently the $650,000 a month that he needed to, to pay those back taxes. Okay. Now, let me jump to 781, which is a formula that Del Mar came up with, which means 7 people, 8 hours for one tiny house, because that's what I think, one tiny house. Real one. All right. Now, we're concentrating on the 7. And tomorrow we're getting into the more definite planning. By the time we finish tomorrow, we want to have at least one basic plan based on Habakkuk 2:2, write the vision and make it plain. But that's tomorrow. We're just laying the groundwork philosophy-wise today. All right, let's deal with 7. 7 people. If you take one out, matter of fact, let me cue this up real quick. All right. We're about to play Solar Cabin featuring Lamar Alexander. I've played on here many times. But Lamar built his own off-the-grid cabin. He has no mortgage on it because he built it that way. He built it by himself in about 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Wait a minute. Now, let's do the math on this. Let's say Lamar put in 8 hours a day for 14 consecutive days to build his cabin. That means Lamar put in 112 hours to build this cabin. That's one man hour. Go with 8 hours, because our formula is 781. If there were 2 people, you have 14 man hours. If there are 3 people helping you, that's in 8 hours, you got 21 man hours. And you can do, you get more done because you got more man hours into it. 5 hours, you got 35 man hours. Going on up to an 8-hour day, okay, you got 56 man hours. Now, let's just say, because you got three shifts of 8 hours in a day. 8 times 3 is 24. So essentially, a 7-man crew, can essentially build an entire structure. And like when we're talking about, there's first shift, second shift, a little bit into the second shift with a crew of 7 people, you can build a house in less than 12 hours. In less than 12 hours. All right. But so Lamar Alexander by himself spent 14 days and 112 hours. All right. Whereas I'm not going to play the 9 Friends video this morning. But remember, some of you are new. with the Nine Friends video, the guy said he came up, he saw his next door neighbor, nine pickup trucks came to the guy's house. Now, I'm taking for granted that each pickup truck had at least two people. So nine pickup trucks times two people per truck is 18 people. All right. And 18 people times 8 hours gives you, at the end of that 8 hour shift, 144 man hours. 144 man hours, you can build a basic, simple house. Not a mansion, okay, but a basic, you know, bread and butter, let's say cabin or small house. That's in 8 hours if you got a team, a crew of 18 people. And not all of those 18 people need to be working on the house because there are other things that logistically need to be done and all that. But that we'll say that for another day. Let me see. I'm trying. So here we're okay. I think I found it. So we're going to play Solar Cabin real quick because we want to look at that differently. We want to look at it from a 7-8-1 perspective. So we want to get these fundamentals down because, once again, what Steve Harvey did, you can do it as well. All right. And that's what we really care, really concentrating on this. We'll be right back with Solar Cabin after this.
Hi, folks. In this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre. And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas, and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land, okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with, usually, if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom, kitchen. Upstairs, I have a loft, bedroom, and an office. In my other videos, I take you on a complete walkthrough of this cabin, so watch those if you want to see how the cabin is as large as it is and functional on the inside. Up there on my roof, you see my solar panels. That's a 350-watt solar system that provides all of my electricity needs for lights, TVs, water pumps, all miscellaneous gadget, laptop, TV, run my vacuum, and everything else off of a 350-watt system. That 350-watt system cost me under $3,000. $2,000 for the cabin, $3,000 for the power system of solar electricity, and I use propane. I have a propane tank in the back of the cabin, and I have a propane furnace, fridge, stove, and on-demand water heater, and those cost me just about $200 for an entire year. And we have cold winters here, folks. Under $200 for an entire year for all of my propane. That is the only utility bill I have. I do not pay for electricity. I do not pay for water because I drilled my own water well. Before I drilled my own water well, though, I hauled water in. But drilling a water well on a piece of property is not that hard. You can either do it yourself or hire somebody to do it. So I have no monthly utility bills. I have a house that's completely paid for. And I have freedom. A freedom that you can't get when you're under the pressure of a mortgage and utility bills. I want you to take just a minute and think about what you could do with your life if you had no house payments and no utility bills. And I'm telling you, it is completely possible. I'm not going to go into any details of how to get out of the house that you're in. You're going to have to figure that out and talk to some professionals for some help that way. All I'm here to do is tell you it's completely possible. Now, some of you are looking at the cabin and saying, yeah, but I couldn't possibly live in anything that small. This cabin was designed specifically for additions to be built on any of three sides. As you can see, the cabin has no windows on any of the three sides. There is a window in the back door glass. The sides are 14 by 14. The cabin was built to have shed additions built on all three sides. This cabin is 400 square feet approximately inside with 200 square foot footprint. When you add on additions, you could add on an additional 400 square feet on either side and off the back, giving you anywhere from 800 to 1,200 square feet. The great thing about building a small cabin to start out with, though, is it gives you a place to live when you build on your additions, and that way you can wait and live very cheaply without any house payments or utility bills, and then when you have the money, you can build on the additions to expand the cabin. That's very good for a single person or a young couple who don't have children because you don't need a whole lot of space to start off with. This way you can save for it, build on as you want to, have the additions, have the extra room if that's what you want. Now, I live full-time in this cabin. I live by myself, but my girlfriend comes up here on the weekends, and we stay together, and let me tell you, it's perfectly comfortable. We don't feel cramped at all, and we'd much rather have a small place like this. It takes a lot less money to heat. It takes a lot less money to cool. It's a lot easier to clean. It's just a fantastic home. Now, I'm not trying to push you into building a home exactly like mine. I'm just trying to provide you with some ideas. If you wanted to come up with different ideas, a different plan, that's just fine by me. But if you are interested in learning how to build a home like mine, I do have an ebook available and a printed book available called Simple Solar Homesteading. Go to www.simplesolarhomesteading.com. You can learn how to build a cabin like mine or at least get some great ideas for building your own home. Now, I want to repeat. I own my land. I have a house that I built for under $2,000. I have a solar electric system that I have for under $3,000. I use propane, which costs me under $200 a year. I have no house payments. I have no utility bills. If you want a life like this, it is very possible. You can stop listening to the media, and you can stop being put under society's pressures to live in the type of houses that everyone tells you you have to live in. You can live very inexpensively. And you can do this at any age, whether you're older or younger. If you're younger and you start in a place like this, imagine the amount of money that you would have to retire on with no house payments, no utility bills, and freedom. Thank you for joining me, folks. Please watch the rest of my videos for more detailed information on each of the systems and a complete walkthrough of the cabin.
All right. So, once again, Lamar, he built his solar cabin by himself within a 14-day period of time, 2 weeks. So we just, 8 hours, 112 hours. It took him 112 hours by his lonesome to build his debt-free house. And that's not bad. That's very good because he doesn't have to, I mean, he's not on the hook for 30 years with a 30-year mortgage. All right. That's the beauty of learning how to build something like this. Now, in the other example, you know, if you have 18 guys to help you out within 8 hours, you know, that's 144 hours, man hours. All right, because, you know, he just had 8 man hours in by himself when he was solo, 8 hours a day. But with a crew of 18, all right, you could have 18, I mean, that's 144 clock hours or man hours that you can get within that, you know, within a fraction of the time. So our formula is 7-8-1, which means if you have a team of seven people, 8 hours out of a 24-hour day, all right, well, then, you know, you've got 56 man hours in, and it all depends on what you're building, to be honest about it. I have a friend of mine in Asia. She works at a factory that makes baseball mitts. And her team, it's amazing. Now, just get a visual on this. To make a baseball mitt, she's on a team of 39 people. And it's 39 people participate in making one baseball mitt. And they make a whole bunch of them every day, and then they ship them out to various countries and companies around the world. So the 7-8-1 figure is real simple. Delmar, you want to chime in on that, any aspect of the 7-8-1 or faith and belief or anything?
Yeah, thank you. Keep in mind that all these stories are, you might say, they are concept of what could happen. As you say, the exactness of what would be determined by the plan the person has. In the case of the 18 people, you say, remember, they were refixing how that structure was already there. They were doing all the renovation. Yeah. But from scratch, we're talking about taking material and assembling, putting together so as to have a complete covering that a person can live in and finish the inside to whatever the level they want to, you know, carpeting and all that stuff. But basically, keep in mind that all these options and stories, we're talking about that versus a 30-year mortgage with all the negativity that goes with that. And as you may have heard some other, when you get into this kind of thinking, other ideas and talents and money-saving elements going to appear. They're in there, but you don't see them. That you wouldn't believe until you do it.
Right.
And going back to Steve's story, keep in mind also when you a challenge like Steve was, or Steve Harvey, or when you set a goal to do, to build your own quarters, you're going to have to grow. You're going to have to change. You're not going to be the same person at the end of that project as you was when you started.
You're absolutely right.
When you look at the faith element, Steve has faith in himself. When he heard those guys on the phone say, what we're going to do when he go to jail, Steve didn't, I'm not going to jail. That's his thinking. I believe enough in me and God, no doubt he'd say that I'm going to stay out of jail by doing what his plan said. So when we look at, and we'll be talking about this later on, who we are and what we can do, just look around you. Everything you see that you may be awestruck about, it was built by a human mind that God put there. So if you decide that you are sick and tired of bondage, of the mortgage, or homeless, or whatever it is you're paying rent, if you decide that you want something better for yourself, God promised you, and I can promise from the word of God, you can do it. You have the ability. It's a matter of, as we talk about, having a plan, a goal, and a willingness to work and get down and get going, and like Steve, you'll find that it's possible. And there's another thing about Steve's story that we'll share later, but that's all right now. It's faith and what you're doing and with yourself and a plan. And this 781 house is a concept that works, and it works all the time. Thank you.
Delmar, thank you. Delmar, could you break down, you know, faith, belief, and, you know, based on basic physics?
Okay, it's about the thing, concept about faith. And you don't hear this when you talk of your religion. We're not really talking about miracles. We're talking about following the laws that God has already established, and he tells us how to use it. It never fails. It never bends. It's there all the time. We're not talking about starting to work with seven people and then look, boom, we got a house. So we're talking about applying the laws that God created from the beginning. And if you do that, you will get the result that those laws have been designed to get, which is physics. You ain't got to figure out to be a rocket scientist. We know that in construction and building, assembly, man knows how many nails or bolts or inches. They know exactly what it takes to support a certain amount of structure. And as LA's is calculating the hours, we talk about multiplying things. We talk about exponential numbers. We talk about seven people, which times 8 hours, that's multiplying the hours. That's not a miracle. Those are laws, and that's why it works. So we're not really, again, all this is doable. It's happening around every day. Man put a man on the moon because he followed laws that do not fail. They work every time. If something goes wrong, they check out and see, what do we do? How do we mix up? So if you have the power from God to believe in your mind, that you can do what God said you can do, you can have what you want.
Right. Well, share that knocking at the door thing.
Yeah, this is not original. This is something I heard, but it makes sense. The story goes that you inside, and there's a knock at the door, and it's doubt. Knocking, trying to get in doubt, trying to come in. And you send faith to the door where doubt is knocking. And when faith opens the door, there's nobody there. Because faith and doubt cannot occupy the same place at the same time. They can't be there together. Because faith opened the door, faith is in the door, and therefore doubt didn't exist. So where there's faith, there's no doubt. Where there's doubt, you got failure. You're not going to make it.
And that's what I like about illustrating the Steve Harvey thing about his, you know, the $22 million he had to pay back. And with interest and penalties all that, he ended up paying back like a little bit over $31 million. But Steve Harvey, because he overheard the conversation, so the employees at the IRS, they had doubt. They had doubt. So that's telling me that if they were in the same position, they would get swallowed up. They had doubt, but Steve Harvey didn't have doubt, because once again, doubt and belief, this is physics 101. Two things can't occupy the same space at the same time. It's either going to be one or the other. There's no in between. So the employees of the Internal Revenue Service, they had doubt. Some of the lawyers, I guess from the IRS, they had doubt. The prosecutor's office had doubts. And Steve Harvey's wife cried for 2 days because she had doubts. But Steve didn't have doubts. So because he had a plan, and it was like I said, he didn't try to do this all by himself now. You know, when you're planning something, you got to think about more, not only yourself, because a whole bunch of people got blessed. You know, he was on 100 radio. First thing he has, his radio crew, it's like, including him, it's six in the studio, then he's got a producer. So that's six people. They had to get blessed on that Steve Harvey Morning Show. He doesn't do that show by himself now. You know, he got Shirley Strawberry, J. Anthony Brown, Nephew Tommy, and some others. So he's got a producer. So that he's got that's six or seven people right there. Then he's on 100 radio stations. Radio stations are in the business of selling commercials. And people listen to the Steve Harvey Show. Therefore, that radio station, or each and every one of the 100-plus radio stations that he's on, and it's still, everybody's got to get blessed. So tomorrow we're going to put together a simplified plan based on Habakkuk 2:2. Okay, write the vision and make it plain. But the core of it is our formula, which Bill Moore really simplified, 7-8-1. Seven people, seven of your friends, within 8 hours will build a tiny house. It's as simple as that. 7-8-1. So we're going to reduce that down to that. So that will be tomorrow. And you can go back to, let's see, this is our third day on this. So we've been covering this a little bit for the last 3 days. This is because it's January. This is what we're doing the whole. Our goal before the end of this year is out, we're just in January now, is to build a tiny house a day. We're not there yet, but we're in the planning phases of it. So tomorrow we reduce it down to writing, but it's based on 7-8-1, seven friends. And if you ain't got seven friends, get on Facebook, man. Facebook's got over a billion people. 407 area code, your mic is open.
Grand Rising LA, and greetings to all your listeners. This is Beata, your Sunday Soul Purpose Healing Blog Talk host, and Friday morning health and well-being host. So great. I want to just say a couple of things. A great idea, 7-8-1. Number 8 is the number for 2024, for those who may not pay attention to numerology and things. So we're on we're on a really good vibration starting off with 7-8-1 and talking about tiny houses. I wanted to just say something about tiny diets, because you shared with me a really interesting conversation or interview with a brother who wrote a book called, I think, Vegetation Over Medication.
Exactly. I sent that to you this morning. Yeah, I had to send that to you.
So I was listening to it, and I was thinking, this brother is so smart, but he's a little late in the game, I would say. He has some great information, good advice, and he even started to, I stopped it halfway because I thought I need to get on LA show and share some updates to this video, because he's given really good information, but he's kind of late because he brought out intermittent fasting, which I thought was great, because that's part of the tiny diet that we need to have going into 2024. He was talking about we don't need three meals a day. We all need to get off that bandwagon, that train of three meals a day. That's disease-promoting diet. Because I listened to a conversation with Bruce Lipton and two other people talking about the same thing. He was talking about 80% of our nutrition comes from our environment. I'm like, what? Wow, that's the most radical I've heard. Something like 75 to 80% of our nutrition is coming from our environment outside. And that's the clouds, the sun, the moon, the trees, the grass. All of that is actually nourishing us, and we haven't thought like that. And that's why three meals a day is killing people, especially when you look at the food products, not the food that we have been presented in grocery stores, but the food process chemicals in boxes that are, especially America, promotes from everywhere, from General Mills and all these private companies, food companies that are killing us. So along with building tiny houses, smaller houses, because we don't need McMansions that are falling apart and people can't maintain them, we can live on less food, which means a smaller budget to build a house. You can build a house because you're not eating as much. Your food budget is lower. So you're going to have more money to put into your house, your smaller house that you can maintain. And you get to travel more. That's really the benefit of all this. When you're not spending a whole bunch of money on food and housing and maintenance and yard and all that, you can travel, meet other people, and that is part of your nourishment, traveling, meeting other people, talking to other people, having a meal a day with people in another country and having great conversations, getting to know them. And so this is what I was thinking about. This brother is missing the emotional connection, because even you, L.A., having known your mother and her career as an emergency room nurse, I learned a lot from her that all that stress contributes to our body disease later in life. When you have a career like your mom had, being an emergency room nurse, and she was really good at her job from what you told me, but all that stress accumulated, and at the end of her life, all that stress was in her body, and she could barely move. So we need to look at not just what this brother is teaching about vegetation over medication, but he said 80% of disease is lifestyle and diet. So we got to emphasize the lifestyle, not the diet. The lifestyle first. You know, how stressful is your life? Are you trying to manage a four-bedroom, three-bath house and you ain't got money and you got to work three jobs to do that versus a diet that is three meals a day, snacks in between, soda, hamburgers, processed food, fast food. All that is what's killing people. Those combinations of a stressful lifestyle, a stressful diet, is what is causing disease and killing people. And what LA is promoting, the 781, is a simpler life, a healthier life, and we make it. And I want to promote a diet of maybe one meal a day, intermittent fasting, more time outside in nature, breathing, exercise, yoga, music. There's your nourishment. So thank you, L.A., for all that you're doing.
Yeah, matter of fact, I'm going to chime in on what you're saying. My mother had she was one of seven, but her older sister, who was 13 years older than her, my mother got to be 92, but her older sibling lived to be 105. And
right.
The distinction is this. Number one, my aunt, my mother's sister, never took over-the-counter medication. She had six kids
right.
now. Never took over-the-counter
right.
medication, never took prescription medication, and although she would feed you like you were along the front line of a football team, she ate off of a tea saucer, small portions of food, and she got to be 105 years old.
There you go. There you go. There you go. And she probably
matter
had
fact,
a garden.
What took her out.
Garden.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what she did, but because she had a lot of land, but what happened was at the end of her life, she had choked on a piece of meat or something, and one of the relatives, siblings, or the grandkids, took her to the hospital. It was at the hospital where she contracted pneumonia, and that took her out.
Wow. That's interesting. Because your mom had the same experience, didn't she?
But my mother took medication. And my mother contracted pneumonia at the hospital as well.
Yeah, that hospital is dangerous. It's dangerous. That's why we have to practice minimalism, less eating, more activity, more exercise, and more consciousness about stressful lifestyles. You got to get that out of our journey. We don't need the stress of medications. If you have to work three jobs to make your McMansion, you got the wrong house and the wrong lifestyle. and that's going to kill you eventually. So we don't want you to have any jobs.
That's what we're talking about. All right, that's what we're talking about, DIY, build it yourself. Now, you're on tomorrow's Soul Purpose Healing. Give us, on a female solution, give us the time and the number for that.
Tomorrow on Female Solution, Health and Wellbeing with Beata at 8 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 Central. And it's a two-hour show. We'll give you plenty of time to tune in and get the knowledge and wisdom that you need. Tomorrow I'm going to talk about why there's a rise in colorectal cancer. On the rise, and the mainstream media and medical system have all these reasons why it's on the rise, and they're not talking about the big elephant in the room, what I'm going to talk about, and how to prevent it and heal it. And part of the healing I just told you, music, nature, small, change your lifestyle, less stress, and that's just a part of what I'm going to bring tomorrow as the cure for colorectal cancer, which is on the rise. Now, you might have ideas about what's causing it. I'm going to get you to the elephant in the room that nobody's talking about on mainstream media.
Okay, that's tomorrow. Okay, thank you, Fiona, for calling. Thank you, Dama. On that note, everyone have a good rest of the day.